This is the Revolutionary Snake Ensemble, a band based in Cambridge but inspired by the brass bands of New Orleans. The group is releasing a new album next week called Live Snakes. It draws heavily on the tradition of the New Orleans jazz funeral, which mixes the somber with the ecstatic. We caught up with the group recently at a party at Ryle's Jazz Club in Cambridge. Band members dress in colorful sequin jackets and feathered headdresses, which adds to the fun and exuberance of their music. This is the opening track of Live Snakes, called Parade. When we sat down with band leader Ken Field to talk about the new CD, he told us that he composed this number for a familiar children's show.
That is a song that I wrote for Sesame Street, and it was written for a little animation that was done by my late wife, Karen Aqua, the animator. She had a particular set of constraints on the animation where there were these characters carrying numbers across the screen. Sesame Street wanted this piece to be able to end after number 13, after number 14, after number 15. So if you think about writing a typical song, you can't end at some arbitrary point. You need to have an ending for the song.
Right.
So what I did was, instead of writing a typical song, I wrote a two-bar kind of vamp with different interlocking melodic parts, and that could end after any two-bar phrase. And it worked well for the animation, but we also adopted it for the Snake Ensemble to perform live, and we've done that quite often.
I want you to talk to me a little bit about the New Orleans tradition of the jazz funeral, which informs so much of the music on this. First of all, for people who don't know about that, tell us what it is.
It's an opportunity for people to both mourn and celebrate at the same time. Typically, there's a procession to the burial site that's solemn and slow. And then typically there's a sort of dance and an upbeat celebratory return from the burial site. And what really resonates for me, the understanding that you can be both sad and happy simultaneously. This was something that really struck me, really. I mean, it was the case. Emotions are very complex, and you can have totally contradictory emotions absolutely simultaneously.
Well, you mentioned your late wife, Karen Aqua, the filmmaker and animator. She died of cancer right after some of these numbers were recorded.
Yeah.
So this idea of the jazz funeral, I mean, it must resonate in a particular way for you.
Well, absolutely. There's a lot of Karen in this CD. We had scheduled these sessions, recording sessions and performances in New York. I planned them a year in advance. Karen was very ill at the time. I was able to get away with her blessing. And we recorded some pieces that were specifically about Karen. There was one piece
There's one piece called For Karen.
Yeah, and this was an improvisation that we did down there with a combination of Boston and New York musicians, most of whom knew Karen, and it was totally free improvisation. It was a very moving thing to do, and it continues to be moving when I listen to it, even think about it. We did a performance about a year ago at the Regatta Bar for Mardi Gras, and we dedicated that performance to Karen, and we played a song called I'll Fly Away. We started that song with a drone. Later, I went back and listened to the improvisation for Karen. It ends with the exact same note. And so on the CD, I just put those two together, bridged those two moments.
You guys are rooted physically in Cambridge, Massachusetts, but this band inspired so completely, or at least in a big way, by many influences, but New Orleans being a big, big influence.
Yeah, that's always a question, both in other people's minds and, you know, in the past, in my mind. For 10 years we had this project, and I didn't record it because I felt that there are plenty of New Orleans bands doing great work playing New Orleans music. Why should we create another piece of plastic in the world? But I was convinced at some point that we were doing something different with it. And we were creating something that was unique.
You've played a lot in New Orleans. In fact, I was reading that you've played on the Amtrak Crescent Train, right, which goes from New York to New Orleans a half a dozen times or so. That must be a great trip.
That was a lot of fun. We had an arrangement with Amtrak, and they'd take us down there, and we'd play on the train. And as a result, we were able to kind of work it out so that we could play for Mardi Gras parades down there every year for about 5-6 years.
And after Katrina in 2005, I know you went down there to play again. Was that a difficult decision to sort of think about, is this the time to go down and play what is essentially celebratory music?
Yeah, absolutely. It was a question then. It was also in other projects. I play with this group, Birdsongs of the Mesozoic. We went down to New York and played a gig 3 weeks after 9/11. Same question. Mm-hmm. What is the role of music in a situation like this? A place that's just suffered significantly, you know, unbelievably, beyond my comprehension, really. And the answer that we came up with was, you know, if music is important in life in general, and I think it is, then isn't music important at these moments when there's such rawness and such a need, really, for release, for introspection, all the things that music can provide? Mardi Gras after Katrina was the most important Mardi Gras. Mm-hmm. That people were so grateful that we came down. And, you know, similarly in New York after 9/11, we did a song called In C, a very mesmerizing piece by Terry Riley, and people were crying, you know, just from the power of the music.
You have a background in so many different styles of music: jazz, reggae, funk, R&B, rock and roll. Is this where you're most comfortable?
I have always loved melodic counterpoint, so layering different melodies on top of each other. And that's a very strong aspect to New Orleans brass band music. I think more than anything in terms of the projects I'm involved with, this is a mix of a lot of different things that I've had the fortune to be involved with musically through the years.
Well, speaking of putting music together, I'd love you to talk a little bit about these last two numbers, Cassandra 4 Remix and Breakdown Part 1. You referred to these as Frankensongs.
Frankensongs. Well, basically what happened is we had some material we recorded from those first series of sessions in New York in 2011. Not all those tracks were, I thought, at the level that I wanted to include on the CD, but some of them had moments that were brilliant. So I took some of those moments, maybe a little drum groove or maybe a horn part or maybe a bass line, and I pulled those out. And I sat at home with my computer over the next, 9 months and played around with it, essentially built a new song out of these little components, you know, a Frankensong. That was Breakdown Part 1, And it's a fun way to work, but it's very different from the rest of the CD, which is entirely live.
Yeah. What was it like to actually construct these songs?
It's a different process.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about this CD being a live CD because so much of the band is improvisational, relies on that energy you get when you're creating something spontaneously. To go back and take these moments and construct something very carefully in a lot of detail in the computer is different, but I think it all works.
Well, Ken, finally, tell me, what's next for you? What's the next project?
Yeah, we have some exciting things coming up, a potential gig this summer in Italy, in Venice, for a festival there, a potential gig in New Mexico for the UFO Festival in Roswell. The festival in Italy is celebrating the end of the plague. So this is
from the end of the plague to a UFO festival in New Mexico.
Yeah.
That's quite a span.
That's a span, yeah. And if those happen, it'll be a lot of fun.
Well, Ken, again, congratulations. A great CD, great sound. Thank you so much for talking to us. Really grateful.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you.